It's All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Noah Adams.
And I'm Robert Siegel. John Negroponte's nomination to be ambassador to the United Nations was expected to be controversial. The career diplomat was in Honduras in the 1980s, when U.S. allies in Central America were frequently charged with human rights abuses. But when his nomination went to the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, it was just after September 11th. And in the bipartisan spirit of the day, he sailed through with little opposition. Now, as Washington's man at the UN, terrorism is at the top of his agenda. I asked Negroponte whether the September attacks had made multilaterists out of an administration that was known until then for going it alone on global warming, on biological weapons, and on other issues.
I think there's always been a strong commitment to being engaged in the world, and I think the United Nations was a part of that. But be that as it may, I would certainly agree that after September 11th, building the international coalition against terrorism has been very much in the forefront of our agenda here at the United Nations.
But we don't hear President Bush, I don't think, citing the UN Security Council as often as, say, his father did in the war against Iraq. The UN doesn't seem to be central to that degree to what's happening.
First of all, the UN has passed several important resolutions, both in the General Assembly and in the Security Council, condemning the acts of September 11. And then I think equally or more important, about a week or so later, the Security Council passed a binding resolution, binding on all 189 members of the United Nations to ban the financing, the safe harbor, and support of international terrorism. So I think that was a groundbreaking development.
In early October, the U.S. sent a letter to the UN Security Council saying, and in part, there is still much we do not know, that is to say, about what happened on September 11th. We may find that our self-defense requires further actions with respect to other organizations and other states. Other states was widely taken to mean Iraq, and you were reported to have had an exchange with the Iraqi ambassador to the UN about this. Can you tell us what happened?
Well, that language in our notification to the Security Council, I think, was a statement of the obvious, which was that our focus at the moment is on the Al-Qaeda network and on Afghanistan, because that is at the base of its operations. But obviously, if as the investigation goes forward and the evidence that we unearth suggests that other organizations or other countries might in some way or another have been directly involved, that this would be a situation that we would have to respond to. But we did not have any specific situation in mind at the time that we made that statement.
But did you then have a specific encounter with the Iraqi diplomat at the UN in which you warned him that if they menaced a neighbor or attacked Israel, they'd have hell to pay for it?
Quite separate and distinct from the language that was in our letter of notification to the Security Council, where we said that we were exercising our right of self-defense under Article 51 of the United Nations Charter. I did, under instructions from Washington, have a meeting with the permanent representative of the country of Iraq on that very same Sunday. And 2 days later, I received a return visit from the Iraqi delegate, where, in fact, we did have the discussion to which you allude, which was that we felt very strongly that at a difficult and sensitive time such as this, it was very important that neither Iraq nor any other country seek to take advantage of the circumstances of the present situation.
But is it going too far to put premise A, the actions of the Security Council and the General Assembly, and premise B, the U.S.'s letter to the Security Council together, and say, hence C, the U.N. has already implicitly approved any action the U.S. might take down the road against Iraq?
I think that could well be going too far, and I think that you're connecting dots, that you're crossing a bridge that we haven't gotten to yet.
But I assume it's a bridge you're doing some reconnaissance on and figuring out if
well,
American intelligence.
As I said earlier, This is an investigation that is ongoing, that we're certainly looking for evidence of complicity of any organization or any country that might have been involved in some way or another in these acts. But we don't have any such information with regard to other countries at this time.
Ambassador Negroponte, I'd just like to hear you. I'd like to hear your response to a commentary I'm sure you saw in the Los Angeles Times not long ago, which seemed to argue that there's been a kind of tepid support for the U.S. in Latin America, precisely because of your experience as the ambassador to Honduras and support of the Contras way back when. Mm-hmm. First of all, has there been, apart from President Fox's, in Mexico, President Fox's support, any real support of U.S. actions in Latin America? And second, is it hard these days to argue against the proposition that one man's terrorist is someone else's freedom fighter when we were supporting some pretty nasty people part of the time in Central America?
Well, first of all, I don't believe the reaction in Latin America has been tepid. I think there's uniform and resolute condemnation of the events of September 11th on the part of the Latin American countries. And I think that there's a large body of common views with respect to especially what constitute terrorist acts. And I think there's a strong global sentiment that that kind of activity needs to be stopped.
Ambassador Negroponte, thank you very much for talking.
Thank you.
John Negroponte, the U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations.